Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to you all. It is Monday morning, May 18th, 7 a.m., and I am delighted to be here with you. But you may be watching this or listening to this later in the day, the week, the month, the year, I don't know, the century. The Lord in His providence works things out. Whatever it is, realize that I am still delighted to be with you right now, albeit in this capacity. But much more important than that, the Lord has led you to this point. And not knowing how and when this might reach you, or what circumstances that you face, and what circumstances I might face, the subject content for today is very important indeed. And good morning, Stacy, and others that are joining us. If you recall, last week we focused on the importance of the church. And throughout the week, I kept coming back to the necessity, not just the niceness, not just the benefits, but the necessity of your attending and being a regular part of a Bible-believing church. We talked about how, yes, God's Word commands it, but even more than that, we kept coming back to the question, why would you not want to go to church with all of the benefits, all of the blessings, all of the opportunities to both receive encouragement and to encourage and to use your God-given gifts that were given to you with the expectation that you would use them within the kingdom of God. And the most obvious application of that is using them with, through, and in the church, right? And then on Thursday, I said that the next day, which would have been Friday, that we would be focusing on how to find the right church to attend. Now, as you know, the Lord had other plans, and we are so grateful that He did. We ended up having that prayer time for Maddie, who, by the way, is doing very well. Yesterday, I provided more of an update, and there's even a Facebook post on this, so you can look back at the page and hear more about that. But she's doing very well. Keep on praying, but we believe that the Lord, or we know that the Lord has worked a miracle, but we have very high expectations about where things will develop from here. But all of that happening, we did not get to finding the right church on Friday. So that's what we're going to be focusing on today. And tomorrow, well, probably, we'll just have to wait and see, won't we? We'll just see how far we get and know that the Lord will work it out. Anyway, the question du jour, or maybe not just of the day, how do you find the right church? Now, I want to start off this time with a disclaimer, all right? As we talk about this topic that can be potentially very sensitive, I don't want this to be about my opinion on which church you ought to go to. Really and truly, I do not. Rather, what I want to do, what my job is to do, is to go to God's Word, to look at what God's Word says is important, and then let the Holy Spirit convict you. Right, I'm a herald, not H-A-R-O-L-D, but H-E-R-A-L-D. That's what I've been called to do. I'm a herald of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and my job is to study His Word and to ring it out, right, to help bring it to your attention, but it's up to the Holy Spirit to convict you. I'm here to help you. Please keep that in mind. I'm not intentionally trying to ruffle feathers or step on toes or whatever your preferred metaphor happens to be, stirring the pot. I'm not here to do that, not needlessly, okay? I want to point you to what God's Word says, okay? And the reason I want to do that is because really and truly, y'all, my words fade away, okay? This is not about my power to convince or anything like that, because realistically speaking, I don't care who the pastor is or how many millions of people watch. The power is never in the pastor. The power is in the Word of the Lord, because the Word of the Lord is what stands forever. And I understand also that as I speak to you, you all may be facing an entire range of experiences with church. It could be that maybe you are not currently part of a church and you want to be. Perhaps you've started looking around. There's no time like the present to do so. You need to be part of a Bible-believing church. But how do you know which church to go to? Or maybe you're part of a church, technically speaking, at least in the American South, that's what happens a lot of the time. Technically, you are part of a church, but I want to dispel any false notions about technically being a part of the church, right? Baptism is a wonderful gift from God, but just because you were baptized once upon a time, it does not mean that you are still an active, regular part of a Bible-believing church. Now, maybe your name is even on the membership roll of a church, and that too is a good thing to be a church member, but it's only good if you go, right? It's kind of like a gym membership. You can pay for a gym membership and you might feel better about yourself, but you're not getting any benefit from that gym membership if you're not actually going to the gym. You need to be a regular part of a Bible-believing church. But how do you know which church to go to? And maybe you are a member of a church and you attend, but there are some problems. Sometimes they are interpersonal problems, all right? And they can and they should be addressed. Don't just get angry and leave. Talk to people. Matthew chapter 18, we may even do a morning on that. If you got a problem with somebody, or you know somebody's got a problem with you, go to the person, okay? But sometimes problems in your church might be that something has gone awry. Maybe there are serious problems within the church, moral problems, or maybe serious problems with the denomination that the church is a part of. I know that happens a lot of times where individual churches may not buy into some of the things the denomination buys into, but, you know, even though it may not have gotten to your individual church yet, it's coming. There's an old saying, so goes the seminary, so goes the pulpit. So goes the pulpit, so goes the church, where your church might be full of people that are very conservative, but the pool of ministers that you can choose from that are either being sent your way or are being approved by the denomination, it's becoming more and more and more liberal, and you can be as conservative as you want, but if the next individual they send to fill that pulpit is raging, what are you going to do, right? So maybe that's what's going on. I don't know. Maybe there are serious problems, again, within your church as far as what your church believes in. That's what we're going to be talking about today. I don't know. What I do know is this. You need to be a regular part of a Bible-believing church. But how do you know which church to go to? Maybe you've caught on to my little repetitive statement here. I don't know what your church situation is. Again, I'm not trying to pull anybody away or push it. That's not what this is about. In fact, I can suppose what many of your church situations are, as many of you who are watching and listening attend the church that I am blessed to pastor. But really and truly, I don't know what everybody is facing here, but I do know that phrase, you need to be a regular part of a Bible-believing church. But how do you know which one to go to? Let me start out with that phrase. I want to kind of square in on something here, zoom in on something. I keep adding a caveat here. Bible-believing church is what I keep on saying. Now, why do I offer that qualifier? Because like I said on Thursday, the fact of the matter is this, and I'm going to tell you straight, right? I'm not going to pull any punches with you. The fact is this. There are a lot of buildings out there with a sign out front, and those buildings are shaped like sanctuaries. And they look like such and such a church on the side of the road. There are signs out front saying that such and such a church meets in those facilities and it has the service times and so forth. And it might even have an individual's name outside on the sign that says, Reverend so-and-so happens to be the minister here. But the fact is this, while people do gather there for what they call worship, and while I am confident that some of them, if not many or most of them, are very genuine people. Listen to me on this, because this is important. If that church is not Bible-believing, it's not a church. I'm sorry, it just isn't. Now, how dare I say such a thing? Because my statement isn't about my boldness or about my lack of tact. The Bible is the Word of God, all right? And if you are looking for a church, then you'd better make sure that the one you settle on believes the Bible. Or if you are part of a church that does not believe in the Bible, not really believe in it, then you need to find another church, because where you're going ain't church. Now, why am I being so hard about this? Well, it goes back to what we focused on a couple of weeks ago, the importance of the Bible. And I do not believe that I'm being hard on this at all. Again, my goal is to simply convey and help you see what God's Word says. Because you see, we believe that the Bible is not just a book. We believe it is the Word of the Almighty God. And I want to read from 2 Timothy again today. We read it a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the importance of Bible study, but you can turn there with me now. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I know I read this a couple of weeks ago, again, when talking about the importance of Bible study and the benefits of Bible study and that sort of thing. But in talking about choosing a church, or in talking about whether or not the place you attend is actually a church or not, 2 Timothy, starting in chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 16. It's just of such vast importance. Listen to what God says in His Word. 2 Timothy 3, look at verse 16. It says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." All right, look, y'all. As I've just said, the Bible is not just a book. It's not just a good book. It's not just important. The Bible is the Word of the living God, breathed out by God. It is His gift to us, His people, and it is useful for all of those things that we just read about. Now, what does that have to do with finding a Bible-believing church? Well, here's the deal. There are a lot of churches that say they believe the Bible. In fact, I don't know of any church that would be so blatant as to say, "Well, yeah, we're a church, but we don't really believe the Bible." Yeah. Instead, using the same craftiness that Satan often employs, because rest assured, if a church does not believe the Bible, and understand this, I know different churches believe different things about the Bible, but if the church does not believe in the Bible, not really, then it's not a church, it's a synagogue of Satan. But with Satan's craftiness, they say they believe the Bible, but they twist its meaning, and they insult its validity. They question its authenticity, saying, "Well, you know, it says that John wrote this, but we really think that it wasn't the Apostle John that wrote this. It was probably a group of people." And even though Jesus certainly says that Moses wrote the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible, even though Jesus believes that Adam and Eve were real, well, we know better than that. And that's what this looks like, y'all. They insult the Bible's validity, they question its authenticity, they treat it like an ancient manuscript that is no more authoritative than the Quran or the teachings of Buddha or you name it. I'll give you an example of this. You know, well, pause, I'll come back to that. My point is that this is a sham, you see. They can say they believe in the Bible all day long, but if they do all of those things to the Bible, they don't really believe it. A church that is really Bible-believing believes that the Bible is the final authority for all of these things that Paul wrote about in 2 Timothy 3, for teaching, for rebuking, for training. And a Bible-believing church believes that the Bible is the final authority, and it subjects itself to God's Word. And y'all, the reason I'm hitting this so hard, and the reason you need to realize that just because a place calls itself a church, it isn't a church, there's some stuff going on, y'all. And it's bad stuff. You know, there's lots of different things. The latest topic, all right, and this is just one, but the hot topic right now revolves around homosexuality, right? Whether or not that homosexuals should be allowed to get married, and now churches have gotten into it, and there are entire churches, entire denominations that have bought into this stuff. That not only can homosexuals be married, but also ministers can be homosexuals. And again, don't get wrapped around the axle on this. This is just one manifestation of this. Because you can't get any more clear than what God's Word teaches on this thing. But a church that's a synagogue of Satan takes the clear teaching of God's Word and twists it and tweaks it and turn it into something that it was never meant to be. Why? Because they don't really believe the Bible. Take a church in the next town over in Lexington, right? I talked about this on a Sunday morning not too long ago. I got on their webpage and I saw that they were having a Muslim cleric come and give a talk. Why on earth? How on earth could you say that you believe the Bible is God's word and then you invite a clergyman from a false religion to come and teach your people about a false religion? I don't care if you say all day long that you believe the Bible. If you're doing that, you don't believe in the Bible. And if you're a member of that church, then you are a member of a church that isn't a church at all. God makes it very clear he will not be mocked. And that makes a mockery out of him when people say they believe the Bible and pull garbage like that. You can tell I've got my ire up on this, right? I'm part Irish, so maybe that's it. Now, am I making too big of a deal out of this? No, and I'll tell you why, because this is not about me. Turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Again, we keep coming back to Hebrews, don't we? That's okay. Hebrews, chapter 4. We find out something very important here. One of the things that I often tell my congregation is to beware bumper sticker theology, right? To look out for refrigerator magnet theology. Hebrews chapter 4 contains a verse that is often used in bumper sticker Facebook theology, right? And it's not the worst example of this, but nevertheless, when you just take part of it, you can misinterpret it severely. But Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 12 with me and listen to what God says about his word, all right? God says, "For the word of God is living and active." This is Hebrews 4:12. "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." All right? Now, most often, Hebrews 4:12 is quoted, but a lot of times 4:13 is left out. Listen to what this says. Then it goes on, after saying all those things about God's word, about how it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart, "Nothing is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Did y'all catch what this is saying about the Bible? This is why this thing that some might interpret as a rant, it's not about me. Listen to what God says about his word. "Not only is it alive and active," which is most often the part that's quoted from Hebrews chapter 4. It is alive and active, but alive and active to do what? Hebrews 4 says that the Bible is alive and active to serve as our judge. It divides, it shines lights on, it separates the truth from lies, and it is the standard by which we are judged. And then in verse 13, right after saying the word of God is our judge, it says that everything is laid open and bare before the eyes of God. Again, this points to the word as our standard for living. Why is the Bible so important? Why am I making such a big deal about this? Because yes, it's God's word, but remember what God's word is. Y'all, this lie that's out there, I'm going to use my phrase that I've used a lot of times before. It's a lie so hellish it smells like smoke. All right? The lie that you can say, "Well, I love God and I'm all about Jesus, but I don't really care about the Word." Or you may not say it like that, "But I don't believe everything in the Bible." Y'all, you cannot separate God's Word from God. Because the Bible flows out of who God is. They're inseparable. And if you're part of a group that says it believes in the Bible but really doesn't, if it mocks the Word of God and says that it is inspired, or says that it isn't inspired and holy, if your pastor doesn't believe it's authoritative for life, I'm sorry to say that individual might have REV before his or her name, but he's no pastor. You might have a pew to sit in, but it's not a church. You can't deny the Bible and claim to love Jesus. Jesus made far too many exclusive claims to group him in with Buddha or with Muhammad or with anybody else. You can't deny the Bible and say you love the Lord. The two are inseparable. That's why we keep coming back to this. You need to be part a regular part of a Bible-believing church. We're out of time. So we're going to have to pick up here again tomorrow, but I cannot stress this enough. I know this is a cliffhanger way to end things. That's okay. This is not a sermon. This is a devotional thought. Maybe you'll be back tomorrow. Maybe I've really upset some people and you're going to say, well, I'm done with that. And you know what? If I've upset you because of my opinions, then I sincerely apologize that my opinions have gotten in the way. But, and I'm trying to think of the most humble way to say it, it is my firm belief that what I have said today has been informed by the exclusivity of God's Word. You know, all throughout the Old Testament, God makes it very clear. Look at how the commandments start, right? That He's not going to play second fiddle. That He is a jealous God. And His jealousy is not about His pride. His jealousy is about His love. Because the Lord knows what's best for you. And what is best for you, this is not about my opinion, but what is best for you is that you are part, a regular part, of a Bible-believing church. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank You so much for this time that You've given to us, and I thank You for everybody who has tuned in, whether live or maybe later on, I don't know. I know that we all face different church scenarios, and I pray that You would give the courage to those that are struggling with their church for the right reasons, not for the wrong reasons. But if they're struggling with their church, give them the courage to make that step of faith and get into a Bible-believing church. For those that do not have a church home, Father, please direct their steps. Help them to see the grand benefit of being a part of Your church. And please, Father, protect them as they look, because deception abounds. Help them to have their feet firmly planted on Your Word, and in so doing, find a Bible-believing church. For those that may be listening to this that couldn't care less about church, it's probably because they couldn't care less about You. Work in their hearts and draw them to Yourself. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you everyone for joining me. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow, Lord willing, 7 o'clock or whenever you happen across this. I hope that you have a fantastic day.